What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into a very special episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. You know, it's Thanksgiving week around here, so we have an extra special episode for you because Thanksgiving is all about family. So joining us today, we have my family. We've got Ray Rudolph over here, 5 years old. Vernon Rudolph right here, 3 years old. And we've got some other special guests on the show today, too. Josh is joining us. And who is with you, Josh?
I have my son, Theo. He's 3. Can you say hi? Perfect.
And we wanted the kids to be on the show today because we're here to have a little bit of fun. So to start things off, before things get a little too crazy around here, we are going to let the kiddos pick who they think are going to be the winners of the Conference USA Championship. If you missed it, we've only got three contestants left, three contenders left for the championship, and we have their mascots sitting out here in front of us. The kids are choosing solely based on mascots. You know how some women do that at March Madness time? We're doing it with the kids today. So we have, I'm not even going to tell you who they are because I just want you to pick.
Yeah. All right, Theo. So who's your pick to win the Conference USA Championship this year? Big Red. All right. We got one vote for WKU.
All right, Vernon. Who is your pick? Which one of these mascots do you think is going to win the Conference USA Championship this year?
The parrot,
everyone. He has picked the parrot to win the Conference USA Championship.
Sorry, Cocky. We know that, yeah, you're not the parrot. But
all right, Ray, it's your turn. Final pick. Who do you pick to win the CUSA Championship?
Big Red.
Wow.
My girl, favorite mascot here in Conference USA.
All right, 2 votes for Big Red, 1 vote for the parrot, also known as Cocky at Jacksonville State. Josh and I think maybe we'll make our picks for who we think will make the Conference USA Championship maybe later in the
show.
But that's some exciting stuff. We're going to let the kiddos stay around for us to watch Week 13's top plays so that we can see if they've got any commentary based on it. But let's just go ahead and roll right into it, starting at number 5. All right, can you guys see them? All right, we're going to see a couple of really great plays here from around the league this week. All right, Amari Odom, what a week for him. Touchdown pass here to Gabriel Benyard.
Yeah, and it feels like every week he can just throw the ball up into the back of the end zone, and Gabe Benyard's somewhere over there, and he gets another one here to get the Owls on the board early in the game.
All right, coming in here at number 4, right, Ray? Number 4? All right, Joe Pazanski's touchdown pass to Alex Perry.
Yeah, what an incredible effort. Turns on the Jets here, get down the sideline, and he carries a couple Gamecocks there into the end zone for a big touchdown. Huge upset for the Panthers. We'll talk about that later.
It was a big game for them, absolutely, with a lot of implications leading into this upcoming weekend. And we're going to transfer here over to number 3 here in just a moment. Are you 3, Vernon? Yeah. Are you 3, Theo?
Yeah.
Awesome. Skylar Locklear's touchdown pass to Kenny Odom.
I had to watch this one back a few times just to figure out truly how he brought this pass in. But yeah, it goes behind the defender, one arm, you know, inside arm, brings that one in. Great touchdown there for the Myers.
All right. Coming in at number 2, we have Coco Brown. He's back again with another hurdle.
Yeah, I can't believe I've never seen this type of athleticism, you know, multiple times from someone. Originally ruled a touchdown.
Is that one yours? Yeah, sure. Yeah. You like wrench. Yeah. It's your favorite color.
Oh, yes, that's right.
All right, come here at number 1, our final play of the week.
A no-doubter.
Traquan, one-handed interception.
Yep. I mean, I knew as soon as I saw this, we joked about it in our chat. We knew this was going to be a top play. What did you guys think about that catch?
Good.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was good.
Kid approved. Number 1 play of the week.
Kid approved. We may have them back here later on the show, but that is it for our week 13 top plays. We're going to take a break here for just a second, change the set around a little bit, and we'll be right back for our week 13 recaps. All right, Conference USA fans, we are back. Thanks for dealing with us with the chaos. It's just fun. It's nice to have fun on the show sometimes.
Gotta love a little chaos.
Yes. And
just like our league.
I was about to say, we have plenty of chaos to talk about, don't we, Josh? So week 13 honestly ended up the way that I thought it would. We'll talk about that here in a second. But a lot of really great matchups, some down-to-the-wire games. But one thing that you noted this week was that no lead was safe in this league. Let's talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you run down the list here. Missouri State led 20-14 in the third quarter. They were ultimately tied there at the end. They lost that game. Liberty led 28-7 in the third quarter, lost. Sam Houston went up 10-0 early, lost. UTEP led 21-0 after the first quarter. and lost. And Jack State obviously led 21-17 in that contest in the fourth quarter, coughed that one up to FIU. So it was crazy seeing just the way these games developed all afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun to watch. Made things definitely very interesting going into week 14, which we will talk about here in just a little bit. But we do want to recap these games for you here just quickly. Let's start off with Missouri State at Kennesaw. It was a must win for the Owls, and they pulled it out.
Yeah, and I got nervous there for a little bit because Missouri State was firing on all cylinders on offense in this one, as we kind of expected them to. But Amari Odom really answered the call in this one. Got just about every honor he possibly could this week. He was our offensive player of the week. Davey O'Brien, grade 8. Also, Davey O'Brien, national quarterback of the week as of this morning. And he was on the Manning Award stars list. An incredible day for him, set just about every passing record in Kennesaw State history, 24-34, 387, 5 touchdowns through the air, another 32 yards and a touchdown on the ground. So he truly willed the Owls to a, as you mentioned, a must-needed victory.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch. I feel like Amari and I are back on speaking terms now, because I jinxed him, I feel like, last week going into that game.
It happens to the best of us.
It does. But, like you said, Missouri State, they came out early, did Missouri State things. Jacob Clark looked good, which we expected as he's been better and better and better each week coming back from injury. But they pulled it out. The Owls pulled it out. They still have a chance for a Conference USA championship berth. Can't host anymore, but that doesn't mean that they are out of it. So
yeah,
a lot of really fun stuff to talk about there. Well, let's talk about that Liberty at La Tech game. Like you said, Liberty led 28-7 going into the third quarter. That game ended up going into overtime. Louisiana Tech ultimately winning that one, clinching bowl eligibility. What did you see out of that game?
Yeah, I mean, this was one of two games where very early on I, quite honestly, just stopped paying as much attention to, because, I see Liberty go up 28-7 and I'm like, okay, they needed this victory. They both needed this victory, right? We talked about how important this was for bowl eligibility for both squads. And so I saw Liberty go up 28-7. I'm like, all right, this is the Liberty, we've watched for years now. And then, La Tech just kept the chin up a little bit. And, Trey Kukuk, they've kind of had this quarterback rotation going on with Evan Bullock down, Blake Baker out for the year. He kind of slides back into the starting role. He had an incredible game, set the Louisiana Tech record for most rushing yards by a quarterback, 143 yards and 2 touchdowns. Yeah.
I did not realize
that. Well, we had just had that record set earlier this year by Blake Baker. So, it was a fresh record in the mind. He had 2 second half touchdowns to kind of help jump spark that comeback. But really the biggest story for me in this one was another missed opportunity for Liberty late in the game, because you saw how against FIU they go into overtime, allow a touchdown, throw an interception, and it played out almost the exact same way in overtime.
It was deja vu for sure on that one. And we don't talk a whole lot on this show or in general about coaching carousel or coaching whatever, rumors, all of that good stuff. I personally, going into the last couple of games of this season, for me, Sonny Cumbie hadn't been to a bowl game with this program yet in the couple of years that he's been there. I thought that this was, whether he was, I don't know, I wouldn't say that he was gone if he didn't, or any of, and I would not speculate. Yeah. Thank you. No, not speculate on anything like that, but I think that it probably does feel good to get that feather in his cap to take the Bulldogs to a bowl game here later in the season. So, and I know that the Bulldog faithful are happy about that as
Bulldogs.
Well. The Bulldogs. Yeah. I missed that one on Twitter. They love stuff like that. But yes, congratulations to Louisiana Tech there in that game. Great victory at home for sure. All right, Sam Houston at Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee, they pulled it out. They got a 1 in the win column in conference play.
Got their first USA win, which was obviously very big. And we saw news again, as you kind of talk about the coaching speculation. I know I saw yesterday that Middle Tennessee came out and they're pledging their faith in Derek Mason for next year, because they knew that this season's been tough, right? I mean, you had so many close losses. I think they were 0-4 in one possession games this season. So many close losses, so many injuries this year, and the fact that he's kind of getting them to the finish line. And, you know, we've seen this play out before where a team just has rough, you know, Sam Houston, their first year,
right,
had a rough year, lots of close losses, lots of injuries. And, you know, they're like, all right, we're going to stick to it. And then next year, obviously they won, you know, I'm not saying Middle Tennessee is going to win 10 games next year. Like Sam Houston did the Vol, but maybe, you know, so, and these games become so much more important in building that momentum and getting that buy-in. They're like, hey, even in our darkest times, you guys were backing, you know, Coach Mason, backing the coordinators, all the guys on this roster. So, another, you know, we got to see Roman Gagliano, start again. He had another great game, 335 total yards, 3 touchdowns. And it was really that fourth quarter. He, you know, again, just like Amari Odom did, kind of put the team on his back a little bit, a couple of rushing touchdowns to help him pull away.
Yeah,
so
we've talked a lot about Nick Fadiato on this program. Roman Gagliano is fun to watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know those two guys are really close. They have a podcast together, Nick and Roman's Empire or whatever it's called. It's great. And so I know that they are both cheering each other on, but he has been a lot of fun to watch. And like you said, kind of put the team on his back there at the end to pull it out for the Blue Raiders. Well, another interesting game here in the league, New Mexico State at UTEP. You mentioned 21-0 early for the Miners, a rivalry game, the Battle of I-10, but New Mexico State does pull it out. And it was a tough weekend all around for the Miner faithful. I think we'll talk about that when we get to volleyball here in a few minutes. But what happened?
I know. And again, this is another one I see, you know, UTEP, Skylar Locklear was really clicking early on. We saw that, you know, the touchdown of Kenny Odom, obviously that one was later in the game, but I mean, he played really well, got his team out to an early lead. And, you know, New Mexico State, I think you knew you were without Logan Fife in this game, and Adam DeMonte, the backup, was going to take a little bit to get adjusted. And yeah, once that second quarter hit, I mean, he was a totally different quarterback. He finished the game with 253 and 3 touchdowns, had a, you know, and really he got put in one of the hardest spots as backup quarterback because Kenny Odom brings in that touchdown catch to go up, you know, in the final minutes of the game. And DeMonte answered by leading him on a 75-yard scoring drive. And when you look at, you know, the stats, Donovan Fappel was one of the highest targeted receivers. TK King brings in the game-winning touchdown pass. And those are the most important guys to have when you have a backup quarterback because, you know, not that he was necessarily just heaving the ball in their direction the entire time, but when you have trustworthy targets that can really help the confidence of a backup quarterback, you see results play out like this. And
yep.
And I meant to go back, you know, over the weekend because I feel like all year we've been talking about how crazy, you know, the crazy amount of backup quarterback play we've seen this year and how successful all of them have been. Roman Gagliano, we just talked about him. Adam DeMonte getting a huge rivalry win. What Rodney Tisdale's done. Joe Pazanski.
Yeah.
Even Nick Minicucci technically was the backup to start the year.
Yeah, you're talking about backup quarterbacks who have won the starting job as the season has gone on, you know, and it has been really interesting. We should, for next week's show, maybe we'll come back with a stat on that one. But New Mexico State Aggies pull it out in a rivalry game and defeat UTEP in that one. All right. I'm going to skip the next one. We're saving it for last. WKU at LSU, though. We're going to go to that game next. I watched that game very closely.
Yep.
It was a tough loss for the Hilltoppers. I know we talked about this, you know, another speculation thing, but, you know, if WKU could have won that game and then win the conference tournament, make the conference tournament first and then win the conference tournament, like, could they be in the talks for a college football playoff a berth? But WKU unfortunately dropped this one 10-13 in Death Valley. I know it's in your notes, but that Rodney Tisdale, you know, the prick play where, you know, he ran into the end zone to catch the ball and it just hit him. He was wide open.
Yep.
Hit him right in the hands. And I know that it's tough to have to play the rest of the game at quarterback after having done that.
Right. And yeah, just knowing, again, that didn't necessarily lose them the game, right? They had other opportunities in this game, but it just felt like if you know, at that point in the game, they were up 3-0. You had a chance to go up 10-0 on LSU in Death Valley. That's something that not a lot of people outside of the SEC can say. And, you know, who knows how the rest of the game could have played out. The offense kind of stalled out from there. And, you know, they get the late touchdown to kind of soften the blow a little bit.
Come down to a lost onside kick for WKU at the very end with a minute left. Like, if they had gotten that onside kick, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
But unfortunately,
could have gone to overtime. You never know.
You never know. But unfortunately, the Hilltoppers did drop this one. I know a tough loss heading into the last week of the season, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But
10 to 13, respectable. Respectable loss there.
Absolutely. We had Valley. Two. You go back to La Tech's loss earlier in the season to LSU, kind of before their season went off the rails a little bit. I mean, that was still when they were, you know, I believe they were still ranked.
And yeah.
Ryan Kelly was still on the sideline. And they certainly had a chance too. So got to be, got to give ourselves a half a star for
a star. We're giving ourselves
two pretty good performances there in Death Valley.
I like it. Well, our final game that we're going to talk about was the game I think that meant the most, you know, aside from Missouri State, Kennesaw, which was must win for the Owls.
This game, Jacksonville State at FIU, watching FIU these last couple weeks, they've been trending upward. I had high hopes for the Panthers going into the weekend, and it came to fruition for them. They win this game 21-27. Jacksonville State on the ropes a little bit now going into the final week of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy looking at, we'll get into our scenarios later, but I mean, it was right there for Jack State to win this game, and they were the only one who could control their destiny of getting into the game this past week. And we talked about how tough it was going to be to go into Miami, beat this FIU team who's playing, like you said, playing some really good football. And I feel like they just kind of ran into a buzzsaw because, you know, it's not necessarily that anyone, you know, obviously Joe Pizanski playing really incredible football as the backup quarterback, but we talked about how high the expectations were for him if he ever got this opportunity because of his experiences his past 4 years at the FCS level being the guy, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it was a freshman that was in over his head by any means. Like, he was ready for this moment, and he's helped that offense a lot, but the defense has come up huge. We talked about how big their plays against Liberty were last week. They come up with two fourth quarter fumbles in this game. And then you look at, they had Jack State had three failed fourth down attempts in this game, one being at the goal line. There was a point there in the first half where Jack State had run seven plays within the FIU 5 yard line and had not scored the ball. And that, there's nothing more that you could ask for from your defensive front. And a defensive front that, we don't talk about them a whole lot. I feel like we talk about this FIU secondary a lot, but they came up when it mattered against a very talented Jack State rushing offense, who still, Cam Cook and Caden Creel, they got theirs in this game, but FIU made the plays that mattered to get the win.
They still played great. Cam Cook, 138 yards and a touchdown. Caden Creel over 100 yards as well. But Keyshawn Owens, another big outing for him, another 100 plus yard game, a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He's still fighting there for, I don't know, he's a great running back and he's really fun to talk to. So
yeah, no, well you talk about how, we just opened up all conference nominations and you look at, the top three for us, someone is going to be very upset when our all conference team comes out because there are two running backs on the first team. And between Cam Cook, Keyshawn Owens, and now Evan Dickens, who's coming on extremely hot this late in the season, someone's going to be really upset.
Yep.
Rightfully so. But, unfortunately, there's only two spots.
Yes.
So
just a yearly reminder for all of you out there. We do not choose that team. It is voted on. Yep. Conference USA staff does not do that. So don't get mad at us. All right. That's my yearly PSA for everybody.
Yeah.
So Jacksonville State loses to FIU. Now it truly comes down to the final week of the season to figure out who's going to be in the Conference USA Championship.
And there it's going to be.
And from where
I forgot
it's going
to
be.
Last year we knew where we were going.
At
we
least.
Knew we were going to Jacksonville. We just didn't know who they were playing.
That's right. So we will talk a little bit more about that here in just a minute. But before we get to that, I want to talk about the volleyball championship from this weekend, who FIU also played a very large part in. So some really great play around the league this year. We've talked at length about that, but I mentioned something on the show last week and it ended up coming true, and it was that Missouri State loves being the number 8 seed in a Conference USA championship in their first year in the league. They beat WKU, who was the number 1 seed in women's soccer, and they came out and beat UTEP, number 1 seed in volleyball,
and swept them. And that's what, like, we were talking to Jessica, she came up to the office for a little bit, just kind of recapping the trip and everything, and like, that obviously this is a huge shock, but in volleyball, for the 8 seed to sweep, she was like, I thought, maybe if it was going to happen, it would be in 5 sets for sure. But no, they came out with a vengeance in this one, ready to make some noise. And it really kind of, I made the joke in our chat of like, it ignited this, hey, can we get 3 bids in?
Yeah.
Because we knew UTEP was in regardless, just based on where they are in RPI. WKU might be kind of on the, obviously not now, but would have been kind of on the bubble. So I was like, all right, we, if we get literally anybody else to win, we might be in a good spot. So,
and FIU has had a great season. So the final came down to WKU and FIU. FIU, the home team, it was hosted there in Miami, which made for a really, really fun atmosphere. WKU fans travel well. Obviously, FIU was there at home. And that, this is, I've been at this league now. I've seen 8 volleyball championships. This was one of the best that I've gotten to see. It went through 5 sets and they were all, I mean, it was close.
Yeah.
FIU was up 2-1 and then it was tied 2-2. And FIU had a chance, a very, very good chance to win it in the 4th set. It was incredible.
They were up, they had match point up 14-13. And I mean, like, you know, Jess was kind of recapping to us that they just couldn't get blocks.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's tough because you're against a WKU team who obviously on paper, they're probably a mismatch against just about anybody. And because of the talent they have and they just, it just kind of fell apart for them a little bit. And, WKU, they're just inevitable.
Yes,
you know?
They are. And as we're going to watch here in just a second, Travis Hudson said, just another day.
Yeah.
Because it really is for that WKU team there in Bowling Green. They win the Conference USA Championship for a 3rd straight year. They've won, I don't even know how many in total, a lot.
I think it's their 10th.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that was correct. So CUSA player and setter of the year, Callie Bauer, was named the tournament MVP. Like you said, just another day in the office. But we want to show you a great recap video that our creative videographer, Dane Lewis, put together that kind of tells you the whole story of the volleyball championship. We will see you on the other side of this recap to talk all about the championship scenarios leading into the final week of the football season. Be right back. Welcome back, Conference USA fans. It is finally time for the moment that I think very many of you have probably been waiting for as you've been watching the show. We are going to talk all about our week 14 regular season coming down to the wire here. And we've got just a handful of championship scenarios to talk about, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, just a few, which is, it's very pleasant.
It's
oddly simple going into the last week of the season. But so I'm excited.
It does come down to the final week of the season, which there are several of us in the office who are thrilled about that. I love some excitement. And there are a lot of us in the office who are less thrilled about that because it makes it more difficult to plan.
Yes, very much so. But, we'll make it work on 5 days notice.
That's
or
right.
6 days notice.
It is what it is. And we love it. We love the chaos around here, as we mentioned at the top of the show. Well, just to be completely transparent with all of you out there, we are going to focus on these 2 games that are definitely the only 2 that really matter when it comes to the Conference USA Championship this weekend. If you would like to see some previews on the other games that we have going on this weekend, I'm sure there are some lovely
I'll have my preview out on Friday.
Go read Josh's preview.
Yeah.
But we are going to focus on WKU at Jack State and Kennesaw State at Liberty today. I do want to run down the schedule for you, though, just in case you are wondering. So this upcoming Saturday, all Saturday games, we've got UTEP at Delaware at noon Central Time on ESPN+. FIU at Sam Houston, also at noon Central Time there on ESPN+. Then the game with all the marbles in it, I think most of the marbles.
Yeah.
I don't know. WKU at Jack State, a huge one here. ESPN+ at 1 p.m. Central Time. Louisiana Tech at Missouri State, ESPN+ as well, 1 p.m. Central Time. Middle Tennessee at New Mexico State, 2 p.m. on ESPN+. And then our lone CBS Sports Network game of the season, which great job CBS picking this one early, which I think they may have been looking at Liberty for a potential championship berth. But here it is, Kennesaw State at Liberty at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on CBS Sports Network.
Well, and just to, like you talk about them picking up that game, you look back at last year's matchup, and I think that obviously after what last year's matchup carried, they were like, oh, we want this game again, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure they had no idea that in this game, Kennesaw would be playing for a spot in the conference championship game and not,
No, did any of us really know that at the beginning of the season? No. I am not sure, but congratulations to the Owls for making it to this point. So we are going to talk about, in chronological order, these 2 games. So let's start off with WKU at Jacksonville State. Again, that game is at 1 p.m. Central Time on ESPN+.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one. Obviously, just because of what it means, but also just this matchup, because it's so interesting. I feel like we've seen this game, this kind of matchup play out a lot this year because of
the identity of a lot of our teams, where you look at this WKU passing offense, top 20 in the nation, against Jack State's passing defense, which, you know, ranks toward the bottom of FBS. And when you go back, I went back and looked. Now, the beauty of these games late in the year is you can kind of go back and see, all right, well, how'd they do against some of the other top passing teams in the conference? They've allowed 340 yards per game to Delaware, Middle, and Kennesaw State, who all rank in the top half of CUSA passing offenses. But Jack State went 3-0 in those games nonetheless. So very interesting there that their defense is like, all right, we'll let you work your way down the field. But we talked about their ability to force mishaps, and just the way that they can play, defense down the field, comes up huge. And then the other thing I'm kind of looking at this game, Jack State's rushing offense. We talk about them plenty with Cam Cook and Caden Creel, number 4 in offense in the country, versus WKU rushing defense, which is 98th in yards allowed. You go back and look at some of the games WKU had against some of our top teams. The one that really jumps out, they did control La Tech very well when they beat them, but they did give up 249 yards to FIU and Keyshawn Owens, which was their one league loss. So
who else has one league loss to FIU, Josh?
Yeah.
Jacksonville State. That is their common loss in the league. WKU and Jack State both have lost to FIU, which just makes this one all the more interesting. And it makes the tiebreaker scenarios for this championship all the more interesting.
Definitely.
As well, which we will not go that in depth to because we don't want to say anything that's going to get us on Old Takes Exposed or be wrong or anything like that. But yes, I think that this game is going to be very interesting. I mean, at this point, I think it goes without saying, neither of these teams can make any mistakes if they want to win this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it puts a lot of pressure on someone like Rodney Tisdale. You know, he had some moments in that LSU game. We talked about how, like, I was worried he was going to be a little deer in the headlights, but he played really well in that game. And obviously we've seen what he's done against some of the other teams in the league. So, you know, not a whole lot of concern there. We obviously know what Jack State can do. I feel like that FIU game, you know, again, they ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw with a hot FIU team at home with a bowl game, a bowl berth on the line. I don't anticipate them playing as sloppy of a game as they did against FIU. They're at home. That's somewhere that they play really well. It's going to be packed out. They just had, they just set a record with 24,000 people there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I imagine it's going to be right up there, for this one too.
This thing's a lot.
So again, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to say that I like Jack State in this one, which does lock in Jack State and Kennesaw for the championship game, another big rivalry matchup. So I'm going to go out there and say that for this one.
Okay. I mean, I like Jack State because they are at home, but I guess I'll go ahead and say this. What I want to happen, and here's why. Okay, so what I would love to see happen, just for the interest of or the intrigue of the championship game, is I would love for WKU to come out and win this one, and for Kennesaw State to go and beat Liberty, because I think a WKU Kennesaw State championship game would be very interesting. They did not meet in the regular season, which I love. I love seeing that.
Yeah.
So I think that, if I had to choose just based on intrigue alone, that's probably the matchup I'd choose. So since you're going to choose Jack State, I will choose the Hilltoppers in this one, and we will see what happens. But Jack State, tough place to play at home, and this one means a lot. So I'm sure that the Gamecock faithful will be out there in droves on a Thanksgiving weekend. I want to mention something. I'm going off the book a little bit because we didn't say this when we were talking about FIU's game earlier. Bowl eligible Panthers, by the way, now. That is huge for them.
Yes.
Did not give them their flowers a little bit earlier, so I'm going to do it right now. And obviously they have, aren't playing for a Conference USA championship, but have meant a lot in the scenarios when it comes down to it. So.
Yep.
We'll go through if you're not following the championship scenarios very well, as we're just kind of talking about them casually, we will go through them very, very simply, piece by piece here in just a second. But first, we're going to talk about Kennesaw State at Liberty, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on CBS Sports Network. I'm looking through it right here. Is there a scenario where Kennesaw State can lose this game and make the championship?
Yes. So there's not a whole lot of I shouldn't say there's not a whole lot of pressure, but, they can go out there and they're like, all right, we don't have to win this game. And so I think that going in with that mentality,
allows the guys to play a little, more free. And then, you just kind of have to hope the other pieces, fall as they may for them to get to the game. But I mean, this one, Liberty, you look at the last 3, 4, 5 games, I guess, going back to the New Mexico State game, which they won off of, maybe some questionable decision making there at the end by New Mexico State. They had to, they had to come back there at the end to win that one. And then now 3 straight losses by the Flames, 2 of which in overtime, and the way that they, allowed Louisiana Tech to come back after the big lead. You got to hope that they are able to salvage something of this season. They're not going to a bowl game for the first time in 7 years, I believe now. But for Kennesaw State, just kind of looking at this matchup, one of the biggest things that intrigues me is, Kennesaw State, we talk about a lot, their success in the trenches, 26th in the nation in tackles for loss this year. Liberty does not allow a ton of tackles for loss. That is one thing that they, they're able to kind of move some guys at the line. Evan Dickens is playing, as I mentioned earlier, some incredible football right now, running the ball really well. But they did give up a season high 8, even though they, again, ran the ball really well against Louisiana Tech, gave up a season high 8 tackles for loss to the Bulldogs. So if I'm Kennesaw State's defensive lineman, I'm definitely licking my chops watching that tape from that game, figuring out, all right, what kind of moves were they using on these guys to try and and stuff those gaps a little bit. And then Liberty 32nd in passing yards allowed. Amari Odom coming off a huge week. Nick Minicucci, the only quarterback since the 2023 Fiesta Bowl to throw for over 300 yards against the Flames. So definitely has his work cut out for him.
Yes, he does. That is for sure. You look at Kennesaw State 5-1 against common opponents, Liberty 2-4 against those common opponents. If you want to look at that and see how they've played against other teams in the league and whether that holds any stock for you, obviously Kennesaw State getting the edge on that one. But just looking at the play of Amari Odom last week, if he can, if lightning can strike twice like that again. Again, you can't bet against the Owls in this one. I think Kennesaw State pulls it out, which will make for some really interesting championship scenarios. Which, I mean, do you have a different take on that, or should we just go with the?
But no, let's jump right into it.
Okay,
them. Yeah,
perfect. So we have just three championship scenarios for our 3 teams that remain in contention for the Conference USA Championship. I asked Josh this just a second ago. Is there a way that Kennesaw State can still make the championship and lose to Liberty? And there is one, and that is if Jacksonville State beats WKU, correct?
Correct, yep. So if WKU loses, because of it really comes down to, a new cog in our tiebreakers this year is that record against common conference opponents. And with Missouri State's win, with Kennesaw State's win over Missouri State, that really kind of solidified that advantage over WKU if they finish tied in the standings, because that was just the last piece Kennesaw needed to lock in that advantage over them. They had the win over FIU earlier in the season. WKU has a loss to FIU, and that's really where you get the variation there. So again, I don't know that they're going to be, watching the scores while they're in the, that game's going to end while they're in the middle of their game against Liberty. But if you know that, if someone says, oh, hey, WKU lost, like, then everything's
celebrations.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how that game finishes. But again, I know that the coaching staff is trying to keep it distraction free in that one. So, that is their one scenario in. If they lose.
Yes. And we've already mentioned Kennesaw State cannot host. In that scenario, Kennesaw State would be going to Jacksonville State for the conference championship title game. So interesting for us, I think Josh and I on the social media communication side, like we'll be putting out the matchup in the middle of Kennesaw State's game with Liberty, which is kind of
potentially
strange.
Yeah.
So that is the one scenario where Kennesaw State can lose and still make the conference championship. Another scenario, these are both if WKU beats Jacksonville State. So if WKU beats Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State beats Liberty, Kennesaw State will head to WKU for the conference title.
Yep. And then conversely there, if WKU beats Jack State and Liberty beats Kennesaw,
we'll have Jack State going to WKU. So a repeat of last year's matchup,
but reverse,
different site.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of crazy that, yeah, with all of what we've been through this year with three teams alive, your only scenarios are three different championships with three different combinations of teams at three, or I guess two different sites. But yeah, so it's still, even with as somewhat simple as it is for us to lay out, it's still a lot to decide.
So, I mean, it's all coming down to the wire here in the final weekend of the season. You better be watching some Conference USA football this weekend if you want to see who is going to be in the title game on December 5th, on that Friday. So that's it. If Jacksonville State beats WKU, it's Kennesaw State at Jack State. That's it. Simple. If WKU beats Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State beats Liberty, Kennesaw State will be heading to WKU for the title game. And if WKU beats Jacksonville State and Liberty beats Kennesaw State, Jack State at WKU. Those are your three scenarios, everyone.
Boom.
Write them down. Commit them to memory as you're headed into the weekend. Well, that's all we have for football. I do want to mention a little bit of basketball here before we end the show out. And a shout out to Allie Zealand from Liberty on the cross country side. If you were following any cross country stuff this past week, she got 21st place at NCAA's overall, which I don't know how many girls are in that race, but there's a lot. Like, I'm pretty sure the top 40 get All-America honors. So she is an All-American. Congratulations to her. That's Allie Zealand from Liberty. Great job. Great season. Incredible stuff from her. But men's and women's basketball in full swing now. I mean, in just a few weeks, we'll be talking about conference play, which is crazy.
Very crazy. Yeah, and it's been a lot of fun watching the early season unfold so far. Men's basketball, we got three teams undefeated, Liberty, WKU, and New Mexico State. Liberty currently, as we're recording this, in the middle of a game against Towson in the Terry's Chocolate ESPN events invite.
Love it.
They won their first game against Vermont, who very respectable mid-major opponent. They're consistently in the NCAA tournament, I feel like. So a big win to open up that one. WKU is down in the Bahamas for Battle for Atlantis. They start at 11 a.m. Wednesday against Vanderbilt, and then they'll play either VCU or South Florida. So this is a loaded field.
That is
and
loaded.
I didn't even talk about the bottom half of the bracket. But yeah, there's a lot more potential big wins they could get in that one.
Awesome. Well, I mean, you look at the men's basketball side, we do have three teams still undefeated. It's Liberty at 5-0, WKU at 4-0, and New Mexico State at 4-0 as well. New Mexico State beat New Mexico. Was that last week?
Yeah, I think a couple weeks ago now. Okay. But yeah, had to throw that one in because that's obviously a huge rivalry, one that I think in recent memory has been largely dominated by the Lobos. It was the first win over the Lobos in Las Cruces since 2018.
Wow.
Yeah, so a big one to get in front of their home fans in that one. And they're in the Cancun Classic this week. So, yeah, lots of fun in the men's basketball world.
Good stuff.
Sure.
Yes, good stuff in the men's basketball world. Hard to follow, as we were talking about a little bit before we got into the show, who's playing where on what station, where can you watch them? So if you have any questions about that, make sure you're tuning in to ConferenceUSA.com on our schedule page. Same thing on the women's basketball side. You can check out the schedule there. But UTEP, the Miners, lone unbeaten team at 4-0.
Yeah.
Doing great things.
They're starting hot. And really, again, I know everyone's playing the non-D1s early in the year. They've got a few Division I wins. So, and I think no matter who you're playing, winning games is important, especially once we start getting closer to that first RPI coming out. So, yeah, great for the Miners to get out to a hot start. Missouri State, we talk about how much noise they're making in year one in Conference USA, had started the year 5-0, dropped their first game of the season to Tulsa. They've got a couple potential big opponents in the Coconut Hoops event. This weekend, they'll take on Florida State in their first game on Friday. So,
and then you look at Sam Houston, also lone loss to nationally ranked TCU. So they're sitting at 4-1.
Yeah.
Good things out of the Bearcats so far this season as well. Lots of exciting stuff on the women's and men's basketball side across the league. But I think, it's hard to deny that the most exciting thing going into this weekend is those Conference USA football games that will determine where we are playing our title match on Friday, December 5th. So, guys, that's all we have for you on the program today. It's been a fun one. We thank you so much for joining us here on CUSA Insider. If you're not already, be sure you're following us on X and Instagram at CUSA Insider Pod, and make sure that you are showing showing up every week on YouTube to watch the show. If you're seeing us right now, obviously you've already found us, but if you're listening to us audio only, you can still continue to do so on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. But if you're ever interested in seeing the show, go ahead on to YouTube and search Conference USA, and then the CUSA Insider playlist will pop up right there on the homepage. Well, I think that's all we have for you this week, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. We hope you enjoy a great, great week with your family and watch some Conference USA football come this Saturday. You are listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.